In the midst of this most gracious hospitality, the king's heart desired to be back in the place where fellowship with God was more important to him than men elevating and masquerading all of the goodness of the land upon him. One of the things that you would recognize is that David is speaking this word, and he says, in a very important word, he's speaking, number one, as an exiled king. Now, this is important, and keep this in mind, write this in your notes, an exiled king. He's speaking as an exiled king. There are three things that he says or requests of the Lord in these first two verses or so. Listen to what the first thing is. Lord, he's literally requesting, hear me, verse one. Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. He's saying, number one, the king who's in exile. Now, Lord, first thing I need you to do is hear me. This is the same man who recorded that if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So he wants to make sure that he's able to get a prayer through to God. So he cries out to the Lord, one, Lord, hear me. But I want you to see also that he says something else. Verse 2 says, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. Now, he not only wants the Lord to hear him, but he also wants the Lord to help him. Now, brothers and sisters, one of the reasons why we cry out to the Lord is so that the Lord, when nobody else can help us, will help us. But he won't help us unless he hears us. And hearing us denotes that we are in a right relationship or fellowship with God so as to have the ear of God, the attention of God, because of our relationship and because of our fellowship. So he's requesting of God to hear him. He's requesting of God to help him. But you're going to see in that second part of the second verse, or the B part of the second part, he also wants the Lord to hide him. Look at what he says. He says, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. You mean to tell me the king's heart can become overwhelmed? Now let me say this, if the king's heart can become overwhelmed, what makes you think about you and me? What makes you think that we are so big that we cannot become overwhelmed by circumstances and situations and people and problems and issues and other kinds of things that come so much so that they overwhelm us? If David is saying this, how realistic is it for us sometime to become overwhelmed? Might be on your job, might be in your home, might be in your relationship, might be in your finances, might be in your body. I mean, there are so many areas and arenas where you can become overwhelmed by the multiplicity of issues that face you in that arena. He says, again, when my heart is overwhelmed. Look at what he says now, because he's telling him now, I've asked you to hear me. I've asked you to help me. Now I'm asking you to hide me, because he says this, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Now you've got to understand this term rock. The rock was used as a term of great substance. It was a great source. It had the ability to be sustained when other things and smaller rocks and pebbles, etc., around them were obliterated. It was important for you to understand that David was seen in the kingdom as a rock. He was a strong king. He was a strong man. He was a strong individual. And yet here is this rock saying, he's not denying that he's a rock. But what he's realizing is that there is a rock that's higher than him. And my brothers and sisters, just because you become overwhelmed every now and then doesn't mean that you're not a rock. It just means that it gets rocky. Y'all catch that on your way home. But he was looking at a greater rock with greater substance that was far more solid, that was far more stronger, that was elevated above all of the issues that he had, that he himself desired to be comforted in. And my brothers and sisters, just because you're saved don't mean you won't have no issues. Just because you're born again and belong to the Lord don't mean the devil won't attack you. Don't mean that the devil won't try you. Don't mean that he won't show up in your situations and try to disturb and ultimately destroy you. Don't mean that just because you're saved, you're going to have it easy every day. This is the King saying, lead me to the rock that is higher, stronger, more solid, more substantive, higher than I. I'm in the earth realm. I have a place and a position, but you are in the heavenlies and you have a greater position and place and authority and power. Listen at this word. He says, for thou has been a shelter for me. Listen at it. He's talking about not only his requests, but now he's talking about his reason for why he wants him to lead him to the rock that is higher. You see, when David thinks about this thing, he realizes this isn't the first time I've needed the Lord. And I called on the Lord. And he heard my cry. And he met and sustained me through my trials, my struggles, my storms. It's not the first time. His record is good with me. And my brothers and sisters, though your situation may vary, though your circumstances may be different, the truth of the matter is your source remains the same. Sometimes your storms may blow a little differently at a higher velocity of wind. Sometimes the rains may pour and seem to overflood you and overtake you. But what you've got to realize that there is no element, there is no issue, there is no situation, there is no circumstance, there is no power, there is no problem that is greater than the rock that you find your comfort and security in. So when you understand that his record is clear, his faithfulness is clear, that he cannot be overturned and overthrown, that he is the greatest rock, then whenever your issues get to the point where you can't bear them, guess who can? Listen to what he goes on. He gives you his reason again in verse 3. For thou hast been, past tense, a shelter. I ain't talking about for nobody else. I'm talking about when the king became a refugee. I'm talking about when the king needed somebody and something to hide him from the storms of life. I'm talking about when the rock, little rock, needed a bigger rock. He knew where to go then and he knows where to go now. And if trouble rises later, he still knows that same rock will be right there for his comfort. Listen at this. Listen at it. Give you the reason again. It's important. Because when he says this, he says, for thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. Now, I love the way he places this and he positions this and he gives us this illustration of God's strength and then God's elevation above the enemy. Now he gives us the solid base or foundation of his protection as God being a rock. But then he says, in this same rock, he is a strong tower. Now hear me well now, because number one, he's already safe and secure in the rock. Enemy can't do him nothing in the rock. But then if he's safe and secure in the rock, why does he need a tower? Well, stick with me and I'll share it with you. See, once you're safe and secure and no fear lives in you anymore and you've gone to the one who can protect you and no one can hurt you or harm you in the place of safety in the rock, what he then does is he provides a tower, and the purpose of the tower is not for strength and security as the rock is, though he is a strong tower. His purpose as a tower is to allow you to... I see my enemy now. See, there are some folk you don't know who are enemies until the Lord pick you up and lift you up high above them and allow you to see their activity and see revealed their ambitions and see their attitudes. See, because when you ain't around, you'll get to hear some folk talk about you in ways they wouldn't talk about you if you were around. What I'm trying to help you to see is the strong tower lifts you up above all of your enemies, and they're looking for you and you're looking at them. Y'all stick with me. I'm going to help somebody here today. And as a strong tower, he has the ability to see some things he could not see. He would not be able to see unless he were in that place where no enemy could get to him or prevent him from seeing what God wanted him to see. There are some things God reveals to you when you're in that strong tower that you never get down on the ground. There is a depth, a profundity of revelation that God reveals when you're in that strong tower. And so David gives his reason for saying, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And he says, the reason is because in the past, you've been my shelter. I found refuge in the rock. But not only that, you've been my strong. Now listen, this is after his own flesh and blood tried to take him out. Tried to get with members of his kingdom to take him out of power. And a low down scoundrel tried to get with his people to take him. Man, you know God shows you those kind of folk. Now, I don't need to tell you the rest of the story. The one who tried to get him out got took out. Tell your neighbor, watch yourself. If the enemy could have taken you out, don't you know you would have been gone a long time? I'm trying to help somebody in here today. And so listen at this now. David is in a place with mixed emotions. His son, who led a revolt against him, who led some of his own kingdom members against him, are now dead. And David is hiding out, and his heart's desire is to return back to Jerusalem and worship God and praise God and pray to God in the tabernacle where he has so many times fellowshipped with God.
Yes, Lord.
The host servant was wonderful. He was gracious. He was sincere. He was hospitable. But David didn't want that. Can I tell you, my brothers and sisters, when you ever get close to God, it's good to have the stuff and thank God for the stuff. But the stuff can't even compare. When you've had a relationship with God, you'd give the stuff up if it meant being with Jesus, if it meant being with God, if it meant being in fellowship with the Holy Ghost. Because the bottom line is, when you're in his presence, all that stuff don't mean nothing. I wish I had a witness in the house. And somebody might say, it's easy to say it when you got the stuff, but what you don't understand is you got to believe it before you get the stuff. And Matthew 6:33 puts it this way, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. He'll bring the stuff when you just fall in love with him. And all that stuff won't matter no more. That other folk are hung up on. That other folk are all twisted up about. Because you know the best. Ah, Lord. Pity folk who get caught up on stuff that they think is big stuff. I wish every now and then I could let them see what I see and hear what I hear and know what I know. They wouldn't be getting excited about little stuff when they got so much bigger stuff that God's waiting to deposit in your account. Listen at David. Because he moves now to his resolve in verse 4. Listen at this. He says, I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. will trust in the covert of thy wings. Selah. David was an exiled king, but he was also an expectant king. David said, trouble don't last always. I might be out of my kingdom, but I'm still the king. I might be out of my position right now, out of my place right now, but I will return to what is rightfully mine. And what is rightfully mine is the fellowship with God in his house. I know I can fellowship with him here and there, but it's just something about being with him in his house. And he says, I'm going to dwell there forever. Meaning his desire was far greater than any other palace or place that could even compare to the presence of God. And listen to what he goes on to say in that fourth verse before I move on. He says, and I will trust in the covert, the secret place, the hidden place. Listen, of thy wings. Now, one of the things you got to recognize is if you're under the wings, what is the purpose for wings? Wings are designed for flight. And so wings are designed to pick you up and take you via air from one place to another. Now notice he said W-I-N-G-S. And notice he didn't say wing as in to suggest that we would just stay right here and not move. The word suggests that God will take me to higher places and wherever he moves me to and transports me to, as long as I am with him, the devil can't do a thing about it. Look at what he said. I will trust in the covert, the covering, the hiding, the secret place of thy what? Wings. Selah. And that was a musical term which meant to pause and to reflect. Now, my brothers and sisters, every now and then when the devil tries to present you with a new problem, all you got to do is look back at the old problem and see if the devil had his way then. You'd have been messed up then. And you might have had some incidents, but God brought you out of that. And just like God brought you out of that, he's going to bring you out of this. And so when you understand to trust God, not man, not yourself, not your own ability, but God, he lets you know that there is no place that he cannot safely take you to. Have you ever tried to figure out how you're going to get from here to there? How you're going to position and how are you going to transition from one place to another place, and you couldn't figure it out how this was going to work out, and how you didn't have the resources, you didn't have the ability to think this thing through, you didn't know how it was going to work. I'm just trying to talk to somebody that's real here today. Have you ever been in a predicament that if it weren't for the Lord who was on your side, you would still be in the mess if you were alive today? And God did it beyond your ability. And listen, he's so profound that he'll take something that seems so problematic to us that has such a simple solution for him. And he will do it. And it'll blow your mind. And he'll do it in his own time. And sometime he'll do it so quick that you wonder if it's fixed. I wish I had some witnesses in the house. You'd be like, no, I know it's going to take more than that. I know you're going to have to go through it. I know it, because you're trying to look at your own power. You're the little rock. He's the big rock. He don't have to go through what you got to go through to get you to where he wants you to be. So listen to this as I move on. This expecting king, he's in verse 5, rejoicing in God's kindness. Let's read the verse. For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. He's rejoicing in God's kindness. Oh God, I still have some faithful folk. I still have some followers. I still have some folk who believe you and believe in me because I believe in you. I still am rejoicing in spite of the fact, he says, that I'm exiled, and his mixed feelings are there's still some folk who are still holding on to the Absalom spirit. In other words, what he was literally saying is, I'm going to wait till you finish working everything out. I desire to go back there now, but I'm rejoicing that you're still in control, and there are still people there in his kingdom who's waiting for his return. Listen at this. I want you to see something else. He was then, in that same verse, and as you move next to the 6th and 7th, resting in God's kindness. He was rejoicing in it at first. Because after you rejoice, if you can't rest, it ain't real. I'll say it again. I said, if you're rejoicing in something, and if you can't rest in what you're rejoicing in, it ain't real. How many have heard the song, The Thrill Is? Oh, I ain't even had to finish that. You know that. They rejoiced when it was good, but they couldn't rest in it because it wasn't real. You wanted it today and tomorrow, but it was here today and gone. Well, what is real is able to be so satisfying and so stable and stout and strong that you can rest in it and it will be real tomorrow. So he began to rest in the kindness of the Lord because it wasn't temporary. You know some folk who'll be good to you today? I'll be good to you, good to you. Oh, that's another song. I'm sorry. And then when you want them to be good to you, they ain't good to you. Like, well, what thought you say you're going to be good to? That was then. You made me mad. You hurt my feeling. What have you done for me lately? You know, all this other stuff comes up. God ain't like that. How many witnesses will say that you haven't done some things God told you to do? You haven't obeyed him like he told you to obey him. And he still woke you up this morning, still opened doors for you, still made ways for you, still looked beyond your fault. I wish I had some witnesses in the house. Are there any in the overflow over there? How many times have you known that you weren't worthy of the blessings of the Lord, but in spite of yourself, he kept on being kind to you? When you were ready to give up on you. So listen at this. He's resting. But I want you to see something else. David wanted God, if you look in verse 6, to marvelously prolong his life. Let's look at verse 6. He says, thou wilt prolong the king's life and his years as many generations. Man, David started truly resting in the kindness of the Lord. Now, David recognized, and I want to throw this out parenthetically, that though Absalom was wrong for the revolt and the hostile takeover that he planned to kill his father, to remove him from office, to do the dirt that he had designed, but what Absalom forgot was he was still God's servant. But David never forgot that the reason Absalom was in the situation he was in was because of sin in David's own life that brought this situation to fruition in time. But here's what you've got to remember. God is faithful.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast,